Are we live?
Not quite so.
Okay, folks, we have 7 p.m. Please rise and include our flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Happy New Year. Good to see everyone here. This is our first meeting since the holidays and to start off 2021. We have a full board. Our administrators are present, and Mr. McGovney is joining us virtually. So, Steve, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Steve is joining us virtually, so thank you. At this time, I'll entertain a motion to accept the agenda as presented. I'd like to duly note there's resolution number 6 that has been carried in. That's been moved by Roger. Seconded by Adam. Is there any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. There are no presentations. We will move along to calendar of events. Any additions or corrections? Okay, we'll move on to community of caring.
Yes, I need to report on the passing of Tom Raff's father-in-law and also Rich Hammett, who was our technology coordinator. His brother passed away as well.
Our thoughts are with both of their families.
Another local guy, Butch Maitland, passed away too, I guess. He was from the Henderson area.
I see that.
Played a big role in the Jefferson County Journal, right?
Yep.
We'll move along to the consent agenda.
Move it.
So moved by Mr. Bartlett. For a second.
Second.
Kristen. Any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. Approve a substitute bus monitor, Mindy Grangine. Moved by Kristen.
Second.
Seconded by Roger. We all know Mindy. She's currently our head of our cafeteria. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. Substitute support staff, Scott Hansen.
Move it.
Moved by Adam.
Second.
Seconded by Anthony. Some of us have met Mr. Hansen previously. I believe he's driving bus for us currently, so he's part of the team as well. Any other discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. Bond refinancing.
Move it.
We're going to head up to page 10. We're going to do a roll call vote, but I'll first entertain a motion.
Move it.
Moved by Adam.
Second.
Seconded by Roger. Short and sweet. As a result of the pandemic, one good thing is interest rates perhaps are at all-time lows. So we have refinanced one of our capital projects, and it's here that Jane handed out. What we're going to save over the so many years as a result of refinancing. Is that correct?
Correct. If we maintain the same interest rates by the time we're ready to sign on the dotted line, that's the potential for savings. Annual savings under that handout that you have there.
Okay.
Column. Right here.
Thanks. Any other discussion? This is good. This is good work. So I'll now take a roll call. I, John Allen, vote in favor. Adam Miner, opposed or in favor?
Favor.
Anthony Barney, opposed or in favor?
Favor.
David Bartlett?
Favor.
Roger Eastman?
Favor.
Kyle Gerke?
Favor.
Kristen Vaughn?
Favor.
That is carried 7-0 as presented. Resolution number 5, adopting the following policies on their second reading.
Second.
Kristen, Roger. As you can see, the one reading dates back to March. The other one was at our last meeting. Any discussion, any questions? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. In your packet is the first reading of policies. I'm sorry, I'm dismissed. Resolution number 6, back up a minute. Resolution number 6, which is hand carried in, approving our COVID-19 testing and vaccinating team. Karen Bertram, Rosalind Simpson, and Kevin Simpson.
Move it.
Moved by Adam.
Second.
Seconded by Roger. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried 7-0. Here we now have a list of first reading policies.
Any major changes on any of these we're looking at, or just updating stuff?
No major changes at this point. There's some that, just basically updates. I'll be meeting with everybody that's affiliated with these between now and the second reading. And if there's anything specific, we'll bring it to the board at that point in time. But I've read all the policies, and we have a plan on who needs to meet with me on specific policies.
This is coming from Erie One Bozies as well, right?
Yes.
That's the service we're working with.
That's right.
Anything else? Good point of clarity, Adam. The board's review, a handful of committee meeting minutes, Bozies minutes. Nice thank you letter from the family of Marjorie Jacobs. The agricultural education report, which was the magazine included in your packet. I think without further ado, we will slip on into administrative reports. We'll start with Principal Story.
Okay. I gave each of you a handout. As we talk about keeping schools open, the administrative team met to talk about steps we would take to do that. As you can see, step one would be obviously calling in substitutes. That does include substitute teachers, aides, assistants, bus drivers, cleaning staff, kitchen substitutes. So step one is always, of course, to call in substitutes when staff is out. Step two would be to utilize those substitutes, but then also to use some of our aides and assistants. And in doing so, it would pull them from their current duty, but it would help to keep classes open and have them cover as teachers. Step three, after utilizing substitutes and our aides and assistants, would be looking at using our teaching staff, part of our AIS teachers. And then step four, to keep the doors open, we would be looking at our teaching substitutes, aides, assistants, teaching staff, AIS teachers, and then special area teachers as well. You can see that could include an early dismissal at 2:20 and special area classes being taught on Wednesdays. So as we met and talked, there are, while there's four steps, doesn't seem like a lot of steps, there are a lot of people involved that we feel, I think, pretty confident that we should be able to get through steps 1, 2, and 3 before we have to move on to step 4. Transportation of students by parents, semester 1, fall, which also ends or does end January 29th, but a total of 97 families transport their students, and the total number of students was 161 that belong to those 97 families. So far, we're still collecting the data. Parents are still turning in the forms. We currently have 54 families and 92 students. But based on the information we know from the fall and who hasn't turned in the paperwork yet, it's anticipated we'll have 89 families transporting for a total of 143 students being transported by parents. While the number is lower, there has been an increase in the total number of students learning remotely. So when you start looking at the data, because more students are learning remotely, those same students may have been driven in, which caused that number to drop. So that's kind of an update where we are now. Our next step behind the scenes is to contact the families for semester two, who haven't turned in the paperwork, just so we can make sure we're accurate on all of that, and cross-referencing with the bus transportation department.
So at what point does that become an issue for transportation to school? Are we close to that or no?
Regarding,
you know, if 50 kids want to ride the bus instead of get driven in.
We're gonna be okay, is the answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna be okay, because we, you know, Scott's pretty sure we're on course to be okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Question for Scott's report? Does everyone understand how, what he outlined one through four? Goal is to keep the school open, that's how we're gonna do it. Okay, thank you, Scott. Ms. Barnhart-Berto?
So I will be referencing the athletic update that you had on your tables when you came in. At this time, I am not recommending that Bevel Henderson offer intramural opportunities to our student athletes. I do not recommend the intramurals at this time because of the number of cases our county is, because the number of cases in our county is increasing. And what I've been reading says that the next strain is even more contagious than the current one. Our goal is to keep Bevel Henderson open for in-person instruction, and I believe not having intramurals will help us continue to keep our students in person. On your athletic handout, you'll see the school districts who are holding intramurals and those who are not. I've also broken down the sports that correlate to what Bevel Henderson typically participates in. So you'll see there are 9 schools who are offering intramurals. I've starred the ones, the D schools. I've broken down the grade levels that are doing boys and girls basketball. I looked at cheerleading and which schools have cheerleading, which schools don't, who's offering it, who's not. And then I listed the 5 schools who are not offering intramurals at this time. You'll notice that 3 of those schools are D schools, which are the same size as Bevel Henderson. Again, I'm not recommending intramurals. The plan on the back, which we'll go to in a second, would only allow our students to participate in intramurals 4 times over the course of the time offered if we decided to offer intramurals to our student athletes. I think if we decide to have it starting January 25th and going till February 26th with no intramurals during break, the students would be cohorted. Girls basketball would be Monday and Thursday in the gym, grades 9 through 12. Only 2 coaches from 3 to 4:30. No cohort D participation. Boys basketball Tuesday and Friday, 2 coaches, 3 to 4:30. Grades 9 through 12, no cohort D participation. Cheerleading Monday and Thursday in the auditorium, same time frame, no cohort D participation. I don't think it's a good idea for the teams to go after 4:30. Our teachers are asked to leave the building by 4:30 each day, so it wouldn't make sense to then have student athletes in the building for longer than that, especially with the clean that's going on. We would still not be using the locker rooms. I, again, do not recommend us having intramurals, but I do have a plan laid out if we decide to move forward with intramurals.
Any questions?
I think it's worth noting that if you just look at the 9 schools who are offering intramurals, 3 of them right now are on remote only. 3 of the 9 who would like to do them are not even open so they could do them. We don't know how much of that is coming from other places too, so just thought I'd point that out to the board.
Well, I think it's a good plan. The goal is to keep our school open, to keep our people employed. We don't have to talk about furloughs. This is one step, one piece of the puzzle to achieve that goal. I'm for it. So I don't know what other people's thoughts are, but I think we should be behind it. Any questions for Ashley? Hey, they're taking it easy. Maybe they're saving it all for Jane.
Okay, so we talked about the goal being that we keep our school open. Well, part of that is if we become a cluster area where we're in a yellow, orange, or red zone, then we have to do our testing of 20% or 30%. And tonight the board approved a team of Belleville-Henderson School COVID-19 testing team. The qualifications were that the person had to have a nursing background or EMT. And this is the team that we think can do the job and do it well for the kids that are in our school, because they know these individuals and they're comfortable with them. We asked for parental permission today. This is something that we want to have the parents involved in and be giving a green light to. At the same time, though, there is a possibility that, you know, we test 20%. If we come in above that 20% is above the zone percentage rate, then we have to test another 20% in another period of time. And if we get to the point where we've tested 100% of the people in attendance, that last group, if they don't have permission from their parents to do the testing, then they may have to look at being put in the cohort D. So that's something I want the board to understand. If people don't submit to the testing, then they may end up in cohort D, but we would put that off as long as we could. Okay? Any questions about that? All right. I thought it was a time for us to start to talk about vaccinations, because we're starting to get more guidance on that. So one thing I want to point out is our school attorneys have shared with us that school personnel do not have to accept the vaccination. Okay. However, it's very possible that the state will be looking for the students to accept the vaccination, but I want the board to know we haven't gotten any guidance on that yet, because the guidance, I don't believe, is out from the Department of Health. So more to come on that front, but it's, you know, as you know, we have a lot that we do to promote vaccinations, required vaccinations, and if people don't get the required vaccinations, then they can't be in school this year. Especially with COVID-19. So I will be getting back to the board on that status once we get more guidance, but it's something for you to know we're working on. Today, vaccinations became available for school personnel. Public health is coordinating this. We announced the location once we received it at 1 o'clock from public health. And by 3 o'clock, we announced to the teachers, please look at your email, and they could go in and they could sign up immediately online. Some of them I know got their vaccinations lined up for Wednesday or Thursday of this week. And it's for all personnel. It's not just teachers. It's for everyone. So we know Wednesdays and Thursdays vaccinations are filled. They're all taken. But every week, I think they're going to roll out another round of vaccinations, because well, you heard the governor say that the vaccinations will come to our area week by week. We're not going to get all 70,000 vaccinations for cohort 1B. So more to come on that front, but I wanted the board to know that's the status for that. Tonight you have at your table the budget calendar. This is something that Mr. McGovney worked hard on. And as you can see, on January 25th, the transportation budget is going to be here, presented to you, and moved by February 8th is the buildings and grounds and athletic budget. And you just go right down through the rest of the calendar. And the latest that the budget can be approved would be on April 19th. It's possible we'll approve that before, but that's why that's in red. Okay? Any questions about that? Mr. McGovney's working hard to get that ready, and we'll come back to you at the next board meeting with that. And that, I think, is it for my report at this point in time.
Questions for Jane?
What was the talk again about the vaccinations for the students?
Right now, vaccinations are required in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have not received anything about the COVID vaccination being required or not being required.
Okay.
For students, we know by law vaccinations are not required for any adult.
Okay. The reason I ask is because I had to take two of my children to the pediatrician in November for physicals,
mm-hmm.
and I spoke with her about the whole vaccination thing, and she said they haven't even tested it and children, yes. So they're currently looking for volunteers from 12 to 18 to have that done, so.
I think we're a long ways away from that.
Okay.
I've not heard anything on the horizon about that. It's all about the adults right now.
Okay.
But thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Other questions for Ms. Collins' report?
For the vaccination program, are the spouses of personnel able to sign up for vaccination as well?
Not at this time. Yeah. I do know that the population they are looking at right now, the school personnel and seniors that are 75 or greater, and they can go to a pharmacy. For example,
Kenny Drugs. Set up now, I think,
yeah.
For
yes. Yeah. And
it does count substitutes as well, as long as somebody brings a paycheck from the school or coaches, I suppose.
Yeah, we are encouraging our substitutes to get them as well. Would you like to become a substitute? We could approve her on January 25th. Because we need substitutes.
Yeah, that's a problem. You're going to call them.
I'm glad you brought that up. What do you need substitutes of?
Everything.
I know, and when we talk about transportation, and is it, you know, can we accommodate that? I think the biggest problem with transportation is drivers, right? So we all know that. So I don't know, it wasn't my idea, but it was brought up. If we could utilize that new board to advertise, you know.
For drivers.
And so if you need substitutes for teachers,
yep.
Aides,
yep.
I think we should utilize that.
Okay.
I had an older gentleman.
Okay.
An older gentleman called me this weekend asking if there was positions open for substitute cleaning. Of course, well, the best answer is there's always positions open, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage someone to get in touch with the right person. But I think there might be more people around here who they might see that and they might think, well, you know what, I can help out. Maybe
mm-hmm.
I can be of a resource.
Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Okay.
We'll put it out there.
Perfect.
We'll put it out.
And if, I think we need to do a part as a board too. If, you know, small town, we know someone. Hey, you're interested in helping out, you know, cleaning protocols, stuff like that, driving bus, being an aide, whatever.
The instructional side is what we need at the most. Aides, teacher assistants, teacher subs.
Okay.
But an aide we can utilize to cover a classroom in a real, you know, difficult
fine.
Time.
Okay.
You know, so I'm serious.
Speaking on that, what was step four of that?
We have some subs too that have not wanted to do it, but now that the vaccination is here, will do it and have signed up for the vaccination. So go ahead.
Say you have a shortage, you know, and before getting to step four, what if board members wanted to volunteer to do that? Obviously, you can't get paid to do it, but what if we wanted to volunteer? How would you go about that?
Well,
I would think you'd have to be an aide.
You gotta have a full background check before you do it, right?
Yeah, you have to have
fingerprinting. You're done right there.
Yeah. And you really have to be approved. You have to be approved by the board to be able to be covered by the insurance. For supervision, that's a key thing I know. And it's hard, and a board member can't be approved by the board to do a position.
We should probably just really advocate for people. Good thought though, I mean, we do recognize your volunteerism.
Yep.
Hopefully I'll get a full plate.
Any other questions?
Wait till she started bringing stuff to the board then.
Barbara and I'll be out there meeting back.
Be good therapy.
Any other just generic questions or thoughts? Not affiliated reports or something else we've missed?
I think you guys are all doing a great job. It's been pretty quiet, so a lot of people ask questions about, you know, coming back to school and stuff out of break, and all I tell them is it's been quiet, so we must be okay.
Yeah, it is pretty quiet.
I hear things too to that point where, like, you know, why are they doing it this way, or can you believe this is going on? And at the end of the day, I just the board's goal and the district's goal is to keep our school open. So So we may have to do things that wouldn't normally happen as far as who's driving here, who's subbing here, who fed little Johnny, but we want to keep open so our people get paid and our children get some sort of normalcy when it comes to education. I know it's not perfect, but we need to keep our school open. So good job.
It's so much better for the students to be here versus trying to do it remotely.
Off that note, Scott, why do you think some kids coming out of break are going to stay home than first coming to school?
I don't want to blame the media. I think the common statement has been the rise in numbers and their concern. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, the theme was they wanted their children not in quarantine for Christmas. Coming out of Christmas, it's been the numbers are high and they just want to keep things going the way they are without sending them to school.
Do you see kids coming from remote back to school?
There are a handful. Not a large, but yes, there are some. Yep.
I just brought up a question I have not here. Okay, so if we go into the yellow zone or other zone and you have to start testing the kids, those students who choose not to be tested, they have to go remote, correct?
Well, not until the very end.
Just push them back. Push them back.
Okay.
We're going to go with, when we get our requests, our parent information back, we'll go with a random sample of staff have to be tested.
Okay.
And of students whose parents have approved.
Okay.
Okay, we'll go with 20% of, and it has to be the population that is in attendance at school, not the D group.
Okay, those mother, the D group is fully remote, correct?
Correct.
Do they have to come in on Wednesdays to take tests? Whenever they have to take a test, do they have to come into school on Wednesdays?
It's left as an opportunity for them.
Okay.
We have one teacher that I can think of too maybe, but who asked for permission to allow them to come in, so there's a short window of time.
Okay.
It's not mandatory, and we're working through the families that are now having difficulty coming in on Wednesday for that test or quiz opportunity.
Okay, so if they can't come in, how do they take the test or quiz?
That's probably more of a teacher question,
okay.
But I would answer it as either A, they have a different assessment project, for example,
mm-hmm.
or it just isn't calculated into their grade.
Okay.
That's an off-the-cuff answer without talking directly with the teacher involved.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Any questions? We have two things for executive session that should be very brief. They're both in regards to personnel and the particular employment of a particular individual. Two of them. So if I don't want to cut anyone short, but I don't see anything else, so if I can entertain a motion to enter executive session as outlined.
Second.
We'll enter at 7:30. Gives a couple minutes. It's been moved by Adam and seconded by Roger. Is there any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. 7-0. There will be no formal action taken. We'll come out of the executive session and ask for adjournment. I'd like to declare open session at 7:40. Is there anything else to become before the meeting? This has been very productive. Thank you, everyone. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
By David. Seconded by Roger at 7:41. I apologize, 7:41. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries 7-0. Thank you.